Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic will not recognize the conviction of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, the foreign ministry has announced. The European Union has approved ratification of a Czech exemption to its Charter of Fundamental Rights. And President Václav Klaus will make an official invitation to Pope Benedict XVI to visit the Czech Republic in 2013. The Czech Republic will not recognize the conviction of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko and is deeply disappointed with the verdict, the foreign ministry said in a press release on Tuesday. Czech Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg told journalists after a meeting of EU foreign ministers in Luxembourg that the conviction of Tymoshenko will harm relations between the European Union and Ukraine. Tymoshenko was sentenced to 7 years in prison Tuesday for having transgressed her powers as Prime Minister. The court ruled that she must also cover damages of roughly $200 million incurred by the state energy company Naftogaz through Russian gas import contracts she signed in 2009. The foreign ministry said the trial did not respect international standards for a fair, transparent, and independent legal process. The European Union has approved the ratification of a Czech exemption to the Charter of Fundamental Rights. The exemption was demanded by President Václav Klaus in 2009 as he postponed his signing of the EU-Lisbon Treaty, his argument being that Sudeten Germans could otherwise make legal claims on Czech land. The exemption is to be ratified together with the accession of Croatia to the EU. However, it could still be blocked by the opposition Social Democrats, who currently control the Senate. President Klaus will offer an official invitation to Pope Benedict XVI to visit the Czech Republic on the occasion of the 1150th anniversary of the arrival of Saints Cyril and Methodius in 2013. Many in the Catholic Church have hoped for an invitation officially since the pontiff's last visit to the Czech Republic in September of 2009. On that occasion, he was accompanied throughout his weekend visit by Mr. Klaus. The president had what he called a warm meeting with members of the Czech Bishops' Conference on Tuesday, after which he also said that he saw no problems with the property settlement proposal being ironed out between the government and the church. Now turning briefly to the weather, current conditions are expected to continue throughout the week with mostly overcast skies, frequent rain showers, and daytime highs of around 13 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. In today's program, former Social Democrat Jiří Paroubek is planning on founding a new party on the political left, but can it be a success? Famous Czech-born photographer Josef Koudelka has opened a new exhibition in Moscow documenting the 1968 Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. Then, a little later in the program, be sure to stay tuned for Czech History, looks at the 20 years of Czech-American relations. Don't go away. At one time, Jiří Paroubek was one of the most influential politicians in the country, both as prime minister and as leader of the Social Democratic Party. But a poorer result than expected in the 2010 national election spelled the end in his party's top leadership. Now the former Social Democrat is moving to found a new party on the political left, which could provide voters with a new alternative. Earlier I discussed the project with political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková, who talked about the former party leader's possible motivations as well as whether the new project can be a success.
He is a politician, he's an experienced politician, and he had some vision of where to move Social Democratic Party or how to do politics. It's quite understandable that he tries to find other organization where he will be able to organize and where he will be able to do his politics and to have chance to make that. The other question is whether there is a chance to be successful in his attempt. And this is more problematic question. I'm not sure whether party that he will form or he will accept or unify with the other party and use the National Socialists for this, that I'm not sure whether there is a real chance to get into the parliament.
And you mentioned there the Czech National Socialist Party, which is not in parliament, and there has been negotiation there for either Mr. Paroubek to either work directly with them, but it's not clear yet whether the party he founds will be his own or will be one that will somehow merge. That's still up in the open, isn't it?
Well, it's open. I think that his idea is that he formed his own party that will merge with the National Socialists, but there was a conflict with the leadership, nowadays leadership, that was among the National Socialists. So, you know, it's a complicated, all the time complicated process of the formation of the new party. In fact, it's much easier to take some party because that has some organizational structure than to start without nothing in this sense.
That leads into my next question, which is some speculation that this could be a similar move to what happened on the political right with the forming of the Topo 9 party that sort of helped create a new base for center-right voters, which indeed led to the current coalition government, because many people point out that on the political spectrum, or the left side of the political spectrum in the Czech Republic, there are really only the Social Democrats, because the communists remain unacceptable for many as a coalition partner. Do you think that there could be a chance for there to be another leftist party that would become a partner in the future for the Social Democrats?
You know, these are very important questions, but sometimes the answer are not as easy. That means even in case of Top 09 and ODS, we can see that they are competing for the same voters, more or less. So this is the same. In one sense, you can say, okay, there can be the party of the Paroubek that can be a partner for Social Democrats, after all, and it can be easier to form coalition because there is those communists who are making a bloc of with no coalition potential, so there is no possibility to form a coalition like that. But the question is that in the same time, Paroubek will probably weaken Social Democratic Party because the voters will be from those who are potential voters of Social Democratic Party.
So it's really something of a gamble, you seem to be suggesting, and that it really comes down to timing and many other different factors about whether they'll get wind in their sails or whether the whole project can backfire.
Yeah, it can be internal problems, but also we have to say that it depends also what will be the position of the other parties and what will be the position of the Social Democrats. In the moment of a deep crisis of Social Democrats, there is more chance for other subjects to get there.
Well, that was Vladimíra Dvořáková talking to me about Jiří Paroubek's plans to found a new political party in the Czech Republic, and we'll certainly be watching how that story develops. It should be an interesting one in the coming weeks and months. Czech-born Magnum photographer Josef Koudelka's unique collection of photographs documenting the 1968 Russian-led invasion of Czechoslovakia opened at the Lumiere Brothers Gallery in Moscow on Friday. At the exhibition's opening, the photographer himself said he hoped the unique testimony would help dispel the myth that the invasion of Czechoslovakia was an act of solidarity with its people. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
In August of 1968, Josef Koudelka, an aviation engineer who longed to be a photographer, witnessed the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. During those fateful August days, Koudelka roamed the streets of the Czech capital, documenting the crushing of the Prague Spring. He used up approximately 260 films, taking over 7,000 pictures. The photos were later secretly smuggled to the United States and on the first anniversary of the invasion published by the Magnum Agency as the work of an unknown photographer in order to protect Koudelka and his family behind the Iron Curtain. The now famous photographer fled Czechoslovakia in 1970 and soon after joined Magnum Photos. His unique collection of photographs documenting the invasion has appeared in books, magazines and exhibitions around the world, with one notable exception, Russia. Late last week, that final taboo fell. Josef Koudelka attended the opening of his exhibition at the Lumiere Brothers Photo Gallery in Moscow, telling reporters he never thought he'd live to see the day. In an interview for Czech television, he shared his expectations.
I hope the exhibition will draw young people. and that some of them will recognize the faces of their fathers and grandfathers and will realize what those soldiers realized when they invaded Czechoslovakia in 1968, that they were unwelcome, that they were an occupying army.
More than 40 years on, Jozef Koudelka says he bears no resentment. His photographs portray the tragedy of the times.
There is no hatred in me against those Russian soldiers, who were just a bit younger than I was at the time. There is just a feeling of great sadness over the tragedy of those times, because I realized that this could have been me. I too lived in this system. I too was a soldier. I too could have been woken up in the middle of the night, put on a plane, and the next thing I knew, I could have been in Budapest or Warsaw with a gun in my hand. I could have found myself in exactly the same circumstances.
The exhibition, which opened on October 7th and runs until December 4th, is accompanied by a number of side events, such as the screening of documentaries relating to the invasion and debates with the public on the invasion in the context of present-day Czech-Russian relations. Jozef Koudelka says he has no illusions about the impact of his powerful testimony of the times.
Já nemám žádné iluze o Rusku.
I have no illusions about Russia or that this exhibition could bring about any significant change. If it turns out to be an eye-opener for a few dozen young people, then thank God for that. But in all honesty, how significant is 1968 in the history of Russia? A small blot at the most. Their history is full of such incidents and worse. For us, it's different. But I do not really expect them to show humility or regret. That's unrealistic. This is my take on things, at least.
The great Czech-born photographer Jozef Koudelka, in his own words, ending that report by Daniela Lazarova. Now, do you happen to be a fan of Mr. Koudelka's work, or would you like to comment our first story in today's program about Jiří Paroubek's new political party, which is now or soon being founded? Well, if you'd like to, you can contact us here at the station easily enough. The address to write to is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address as well, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. And of course, because everything these days is more and more online, you can also join or start a discussion at Radio Prague's Facebook page. So do be sure to look us up. Also, more news, as always, at www.radio.cz. Now we turn to today's main feature, which is Czech history. We look at the development of Czech-American relations over the past two decades. Ever since the fall of the Iron Curtain, they've been the pivot of Czech foreign policy. But after the euphoria of the Velvet Revolution and the era of Washington's fascination with Václav Havel, these relations today are like a 20-year-old marriage with no sex, at least according to some current and former diplomats who appeared in last Friday's debate hosted by the Foreign Ministry. Jan Richter reports. Last week was rich in events highlighting Czech-American relations. First, a statue of U.S. President Woodrow Wilson was re-erected outside Prague's main train station, 70 years after it was destroyed by the Nazis. Then on Friday, it was announced that Prime Minister Petr Nečas would meet President Barack Obama in the White House later this month. But that's nothing compared to the days before and after the fall of communism in 1989, when history was made and Czechoslovakia's new president, playwright and dissident Václav Havel, became a global celebrity. Entitled The Lion and the Eagle, Czech-American Relations Through the Eyes of Envoys, the debate on Friday brought together 10 current and former diplomats from both countries. One of the speakers was Defense Minister Alexander Vondra, who served as Czech ambassador in Washington between 1997 and 2001.
We had those 20 years of sunshine when our influence in Washington was much greater than our physical strength. The story of the Velvet Revolution, the role, image of Havel has played a crucial role. But for the U.S., there was also a sense of the mission, a sense of the special mission, you know, what was called, you know, to make Europe whole and free.
All the envoys in fact mentioned Václav Havel, the first president of post-communist Czechoslovakia and later the Czech Republic. He was the most important single player in these relations for more than two decades, from his dissident days until he left office in 2003, having secured his country's membership in NATO. Current Czech ambassador to Washington Petr Gandalovič was nostalgic about the fascinating 1990s.
Sometimes it may fill you with such a feeling of envy, maybe even a feeling of void after so many glamorous events that happened during the last 20 years.
Even under communism, the American envoys in Prague talked to Václav Havel. William Lewis was the U.S. ambassador in Prague for 3 years in the 1980s.
July 4th, 1985, as we normally do, had a reception, our July 4th reception, for hundreds of people. We always invited all of Charter 77, and Havel would come. The deputy foreign minister came. I was shaking his hands, welcoming him. He looked over my shoulder and he saw Havel standing. And he said with horror on his face, "That man is here." And he reeled on his heel and left, as did many of the officials with him.
When Ambassador Lewis took office in December 1983, the relations between the United States and the Soviet bloc were at a new low following the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the deployment of Pershing missiles in West Germany. But less than 5 years later, Free Czechoslovakia emerged and Mr. Havel addressed a joint session of the U.S. Congress. On his legendary trip to Washington and New York, he was accompanied by his spokesman Mikhail Jantovsky, who returned there as ambassador in 1992.
The 10-plus years that followed under three different U.S. presidents representing both major political parties must be seen as the absolute height of this relationship. What made it so fruitful was not just the extremely close rapport between the top leaders of the two countries, the favorable international climate, or the efforts of diplomats, but the fact that it helped to achieve in practical ways crucial goals of both countries.
For the Czech Republic, this was primarily joining NATO, which happened in 1999. The envoys said relations between the two countries were based on shared values, interests, and history that went back as far as the foundation of Czechoslovakia in 1918. But by the time Czechs joined NATO, a Social Democrat government took office that did not share the enthusiasm of the previous liberal right-wing cabinets. Ambassador John Shetak, who was in Prague between 1998 and 2000, said one of the major dissonances came with NATO's attacks on Kosovo.
Just a few weeks after the NATO accession, I went into the office of the foreign minister, Jan Kavan, and said, "Your NATO membership is for real. This is not simply a symbolic event. We are now, in fact, NATO is going to lead some attacks, air attacks in Kosovo and Belgrade." This was very controversial among Czechs who had strong connections with the Serbs, obviously, over the years, and it was not easy. And there were questions about whether we really did share the same values.
The Czech-U.S. relations went through a significant twist in the years after the attacks of 9/11, which coincided with the end of Václav Havel's term as president. The Czechs took part in the War on Terror, and the administration of George W. Bush was also planning to place a radar base in the Czech Republic as part of its controversial missile defense project. The plan was opposed by the public, and the Czech government needed something to balance the asymmetric relationship. Czech officials pushed for the abolishment of U.S. visas for Czech citizens, but it took years before the visas were finally cancelled. Petr Kolář was the Czech envoy in Washington between 2005 and 2010.
From 1 year to here, that you are the best ally where you can have a radar, you can host it because you are a very close partner. At the same time, being still in the category of the so-called second class of the EU citizen because of visas. Fortunately, we had a lot of friends, not only here in the U.S. Embassy, but also in Washington. But the acknowledgement and the way how we had to persuade the others, how we need to actually sometimes even explain very simple truth, was sometimes frustrating.
Then in 2009 came a setback, as Alexander Vondra put it. The newly elected American President Barack Obama moved his foreign policy focus away from Eastern Europe, a fact that Czech policymakers found hard to digest. But the current U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic, Norman Eisen, says the change is not for the worse.
I do not believe that in a mature relationship that those tokens, that the engagement ring or the wedding ring that betokens a young relationship, the new and exciting relationship of the post-Samatova Revolutze period, I say this having been married almost two decades myself, you settle into something that is even better, and that is a friendship, a mutual understanding, a shared history of success, a maturity. That's not to say it's not exciting.
Mr. Eisen said Czech complaints about the diminishing importance of the relationship were discontents of success. But his metaphor provoked a colorful reaction from the panel. Alexander Vondra again.
The question was, it was raised whether this mature relationship requires sex or not, and Norm is opinion of the opinion that not necessary. Yes.
Wait a minute, I didn't say sex was not necessary. I said it's different.
Mr. Vondra was considered a staunch supporter of George W. Bush's doctrine in foreign policy. He believes that the Czech-US relations will suffer if both countries don't invest in them.
I think that we do have some obligation to fill the agenda with some sex on the government or the state-to-state level, just because there are the common interests. I do not have any doubts about this. So it's just an obligation to do something here. Otherwise, I am a bit afraid that we can somehow drift apart.
The Czech Republic and the United States still share values and interests in the fields of human rights, the rule of law, and increasingly in civil nuclear power. But without the extraordinary contribution of Václav Havel, Prague has now lost its special relation to Washington. That edition of Czech History, looking at 20 years of Czech-American relations, was written and produced by Jan Richter. And that takes us to our final feature this day, another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. And today's episode is with Rosie Johnston.
Jsou čtyři ráno, nebo víc. Jsem z hůru, koukám na měsíc, anebo dolů do ulic, kde lampy bloudí. Snad je to jedna z nočních můr. Co vidím, to je soudní dvůr.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, helping you learn new idioms and key phrases through song lyrics. Today, we're listening to a song by Hanna Hegerova, the Czech queen of chanson, sometimes referred to as this country's answer to Edith Piaf. The tune is called Pot mě šili host, which you could translate as the wily guest, and the phrase to listen out for comes nearly halfway through the song. It goes slouží službu medvědí.
Mí milí asi nevědí, že slouží službu medvědí, když v roli svědku povědí, že mám ráda třeba růže. I to, že ještě radši spím a ve snech často zabloudím k vůni mužské kůže.
Sloužit medvědí službu translates literally as to do a bear's service and actually means to, with the best of intentions, do more harm than good or set out to help someone and actually end up doing harm to that person. Here at Radio Prague, we couldn't think of any neat English translation for sloužit medvědí službu. The closest idiomatic equivalent we could muster was the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But that doesn't quite fit, because the infernal overtones of the English phrase make it sound quite a lot stronger than the Czech bear's service. Maybe you can help us. If you can think of a better translation of sloužit medvědí službu, then write to us. Here's the phrase again to stimulate your imagination.
Mí milí asi nevědí, že slouží službu medvědí, když v roli svědku povědí, že mám ráda třeba růže. I to, že ještě radši spím a ve snech často zabloudím k vůni mužské kůže.
some more Ursine idioms now. People who are clumsy or slow and heavy in their movements are sometimes compared to bears, medvědi in Czech. If someone lumbers about the place, then you can say Vali se jako medvěd, he moves like a bear. Or you can call a rather ham-fisted individual neohrabaní jako medvěd, as clumsy as a bear. And this isn't all that common, but if you're exhausted and plan to have a good long sleep, in Czech you can say budu spát jako medvěd, I'm going to sleep like a bear. I hope this hasn't been more Czech than you can bear. Remember, you can find all these phrases again on our website, which is www.radio.cz. And with that awful pun, I bid you goodbye. Nashledanou.
Mí milí asi nevědí, že slouží službu medvědí, když v roli svědku povědí, že mám ráda třeba růže. I to, že ještě radši spím a ve snech často zabloudím k vůni mužské kůže. To mi nepomůže. Co na půl je, chci docela. Chci vstát, jak ptáci z popela a dělat, co se nedělá. A za to mě teď soudí. Chci v kádi světa hledat špunt.
The voice and music of Hanna Hegerová, ending that edition of Soundcheck with Rosie Johnston. That takes us to the end of our show. I'm afraid we are out of time. I'm Jan Fellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.